Constantly Married, episode 43, I think.
Yes.
This week.
43.
Here, you said to me yesterday, 700 episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, we've recorded more than 700 now.
Isn't that mental?
They're not all released yet, but I checked at Spotify for Podcasters yesterday.
Yeah.
And we were on 697. Therefore, today's came out last night, 698. So by the time this goes out, 699.
There we go.
And then whenever Thursday's training diaries goes out, that'll be number 700. Not wild.
It's wild. As you can hear, I'm here with James
today. Yeah, we're back as normal.
And we're also here with Elaine Matthews.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back.
Constantly Elaine, as Amy calls it.
Which is why I haven't been on this year at all. I think I've been on once because I'm constantly Elaine.
Very good. Today we're going to solve some problems. I'm actually excited about this conversation.
I'm a little nervous about it as well. I'm not going to lie.
A bit nervous too. But what we are going to do is we're going to do it like an exercise. The three of us are going to do the exercise together. And we're doing that so you can follow along and do it with us. And it's about achieving a goal. We often do have conversations about goal setting. But then achieving a goal is a whole other thing, right? So we've got a framework that is really useful. I use it all the time. We use it in here as a team. And it just gets things moving forward so quickly, so effective. So if you've got a pen and paper handy, I think I would recommend that so you could actually play along and maybe start thinking as you're listening, what goal have you got right now that you want to achieve so you can use that for your framework. Before we get into the conversation, don't forget to follow us on Spotify.
Go on, Jamie. We're at almost 400 followers now. We're
really
creeping into 400 followers on Spotify. God.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so yeah, keep doing the follow button thing. If you could review us as well, it'd be amazing. Okay, let's just get into some training highlights. I know I'm absolutely throwing this at you. We didn't discuss this beforehand, right?
As in training we've just done?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this.
No, so any training highlights for last week? Did you do any training?
Oh, I trained on Monday, actually. The burpees and the double unders. And I have never felt so pathetic trying to get off the ground. Those double push down-ups. First round, I flew it. Got it done in like 2:48. I was like, look at me go. And then the last round, it took me like 3:31, and I have never been so slow getting off the floor. I couldn't believe it. So the double push got really hard, and I was like in the workout trying to figure out ways to make myself like rock up. So I'd like lift my feet and slam them back on the ground again to try to gather some momentum. A little arch rock. Oh, yeah. Honestly, trying to do that. And then my lower back cramped when I did that, so that didn't work very long. I love that session. It was so fun to coach, trying to get people to move fast. But then I actually really enjoyed doing it because it's like, you can do all these things, go try to do it faster. And that struggle was just, I know, I really enjoyed it. It was good fun.
Deadly. Very good. What about you, Lane? Did you have any highlights?
In a shock to everybody, I've had some double under highlights recently. Yay. Which I'm so proud of myself. I just really dislike double unders. They really gas me. I've never put a lot of time and practice into them. I somehow always miss those days. But I've made an effort over the last 4 weeks to be like, Elaine, double unders, particularly once the next round of our game day was announced, what we're working on this quarter. I was like, okay, this is the quarter where you get reliable double unders, sort them out. So last Thursday, the 60 double unders and the ski calories, somehow by magic, I got 17 in a row in the last round of the 18 minute workout. So it was absolutely amazing. Now I did 30 double unders every round, so I was getting consistency with the volume. And then on Monday again with the 30 burpees, I somehow managed to get more double unders in my last round. So I always got into the last round of the doubles and was getting tens at a time. So it's freaking wild. I want to give out to you as well, because there's double unders today. My calves are about to fall off, but it's working. It's really weird.
It's weird, huh?
It's weird that this whole programming thing is working.
But we've also, myself and Hannah spent some time with you a week or two ago about, you know, on the technique side, we had a bit of a look at it with. So that's great to hear that it's starting to come together for you.
The key, guys, is to jump higher. What I tell everyone in class all the time, jump higher, jump higher. I need to do that myself. It's wild.
It's wild. Your coaching works on yourself.
Wild.
If you ever listen to it. Very good. Yeah, I tell you what, I had a great day on Friday last week. The paused chin up and the slow eccentric, the fast singles, and then the paused front squats with the other front squats. Great day. I came away just feeling like I've got some really solid work done. Mm. I had done 2 days previous, we did the strict pull-ups with the deadlifts and the box step-overs. And it was another one of those situations, kind of like the double unders you're saying. We did strict pull-ups like twice in 3 days. Yeah. And I really felt the benefit. By the end of that, I'm like, I'm after getting lots of strict pull-up work. I'm really looking forward to doing the pull-ups today as a result. And sort of solidifying that work. So the pull-ups, like, they're not the most sexy thing to work on. And they see it, and I'm like, well, pull-ups again. But they all of a sudden start getting stronger really fast once we start doing with a bit more regularity. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying that side of it. I know, having had not much of a training start of the year, one of the things I really felt when I came back was, oh, fucking pull-ups. I was on ring rows for the first few sessions going, I'm not even going to try them. But even those couple of sessions, I feel like I'm over the hump again. I'm feeling good about them. So that was really good. What about this coming week? Have you got any workouts that you're looking forward to?
Every time we bring this question up, I'm like, yeah, loads. But genuinely, yes, loads. This Friday is really cool. This Saturday is kind of cool for most of it.
So you're picking all of ours now. That's yeah. Great.
I've not said anything, though. Sunday, I actually really like the look of. Monday, I was going to pick, but Elaine picked that one. So I'm going with Tuesday. Also, I program Tuesday, so everyone's going to hate me for this. But I think it's a whopper workout. So it's for time. Going on 0, 10, 20, and maybe 30. You ski 200 meters, row 400 meters, and bike 800 meters on 0. Then on the 10-minute mark, you row 400, bike 800, ski 200. On the 20-minute mark, you bike 800, ski 200, row 400. And then on 30, you pick your poison. You have an optional fourth round.
Mm. Love this.
It's a bit of a hunger test, so it's like, if you have more in the tank, go get after it. And then there's a secondary side to that where you can pick a version for you that makes you feel really good, leave the day on a high. You can pick a version for you that does not benefit you maybe, like goes against what you'd like to do, and you can leave on a high that way. There's just all these different variable options that you can go with. I think it's a really cool workout because we haven't done one like that in a while.
And what I like about the optional fourth round is that you can give yourself license to really go for rounds 1 to 3.
Yeah.
And say, if I feel like it at the end, I can do it.
Yeah, because very often I'm in a workout and I'm good at going really fast, really early, and then I'm done. Like on Monday, I could have done one round of that and been like, I'm fitter. Yeah, like I've done enough. Like if the prep was enough in the build up, and on a day like this, I'm like I often don't know if I have it in the fourth round to stay fast, to stay, keep going, that I'm just moving. And sometimes it's almost junk volume because I'm a very fast twitch athlete whenever I do that sort of stuff.
Exactly. So I think this bit of freedom to say, when I get there, I'll decide, rather than I'm trying to manage my energy to make sure for 4 rounds instead of 3 rounds. So I really like that element. Yeah, it's going to be a tough day, but I think, again, like the cardio this quarter, it's just gone through the roof, man. So yeah. Deadly. Elaine, what are you looking at?
I am looking forward to Monday. So we are climbing the ladder in 15 minutes, one wall walk, one power clean, one front squat. But we get to add one rep to each after every round. So the coach notes here is really interesting as well. The workout is meant to be non-stop moving for 15 minutes. So if you can't continuously do your wall walks, switch to inchworms, which completely changes this workout, because I'm like, I'd say I could get up to maybe 5-6 wall walks and then that's where I'll cut off. So then to keep moving, I'll switch over to inchworms or try get as many wall walks. And then once I feel myself slowing down, get into the inchworms. But one of my goals is to get upside down this year and get my hands on walking. I'm really comfortable in a balance and I'm comfortable near a wall, but out on the floor is a whole other ball game. So I'm working on that this year, and this will definitely get me towards that. So it looks really cool.
It's a cool one, right?
And it's a light barbell.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good, important point, because we're also encouraging touch and go on the power clean, like straight into the front squats as well. So it's not like stand around, do singles type of workout. Yeah. It's like move. So it's barbell cardio along with wall walks.
Yeah, which will just fry us all. And
it's going to be amazing.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I think like on the face of it might be the coolest workout of the week on paper. It's very cool. For me,
but when I'm actually in the middle of it, it won't be cool. Is this what you're saying?
100%. So for me, yeah, I was looking at Friday maybe. I did the muscle snatch and overhead squat yesterday, and it's left me like dying to snatch. So I can't wait for Friday. But James reminded me that actually Saturday's here. So Saturday is my workout of the week, I think. Love the look of this. We have a two-parter. Part A is handstand skills, so we can walk or balance or wall walk, whatever you think upside down we can get benefit from, and I love a bit of practice in a handstand. And then we follow it with partner workout. It's 13 minutes long, and as a pair, we share a 2 kilometer row, and in the time remaining, which is something like 5 or 6 minutes, we crawl for distance. And bear crawls are just the most miserable, like, painful things ever. They kill me, but it's kind of like the bike in my head. It's a category of pain that I like. I'm like, yes, this is the death that I need. And I think with a partner, I'll be forced so badly to like do another one. So I think that's going to be one of those mental and physical days that's so beneficial.
Yeah, it's ticking a lot of boxes that day, isn't it? For like, there's only 3 real movements involved, but it's doing loads.
We build so much upper body strength, so much cardio, so much mental toughness. Like, there's so much in it for a simple enough day. But then
all that play practice stuff beforehand as well, where it's like, you see those workouts sometimes and say, oh, today's a bit of a, not a laugh, but like, everyone's a bit more relaxed. We have that fun. And then we're like, what a gear shift into the second part of the workout.
What a gear shift. Absolutely. So that's Saturday. Make sure you get in for that. Another huge week ahead. Lots of progress being made already. So we'll keep pushing. Okay, so we mentioned earlier, we're going to do an exercise today. It's our main topic. We're talking about goals, and we all have things we're trying to achieve, right? Whether it's big, broad goals or really small, narrow things. At the end of the day, we all have to figure out a way to get there. And I think when we're in the process of trying to get a goal, this is where all the stress and strife and anguish comes in, anxiety comes up. And I think more than is needed a lot of the time, and what we can do with this exercise is hopefully lower some of the suffering that comes along with trying to achieve a goal and enjoy the process a bit more, plus get the goal much quicker, much more effectively. It's an exercise that I steal directly from a mentor of mine who uses it with me all the time, and I find it so useful. Like, it gets me out of the swirl of what am I going to do here, am I doing the right things, into, oh yeah, I just have to do this, and all of the other things I can just put aside for now. Gets me moving forward again. So I've asked the three of us to put down a goal, and we're going to do this exercise together. And if you're listening, follow along and see how you get on with it. So let's talk about the goals first, what you've picked. James, want to go first?
Yeah, so as we've alluded to a couple of times on the podcast, yourself and myself are setting up a business. It's a coach's business. And I've set my goal as launching the first product in the new business.
Amazing. Yeah, very. And what I like about that is, like, it's exciting, but it's also a big overwhelming task, because once you start trying to build something like this, like, there's so many things have to go into it, and so many like lots of components you don't even consider at the start.
And when I'm not talking on this, I'm literally just adding to that list right now.
Class.
Every time there's a gap of not me, there's just another thing going on to it.
But what I also like about it is, like, you'll know when you've achieved the goal.
Yeah.
It's launched.
Yeah.
There's a definite Everyone knows specific thing.
All the things about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Elaine, what are you going for?
So for me, I want to rein in on my nutrition and to lose body fat. I did an in-body scan at the weekend, and things are bad. So I've had a busy year, and I can feel it in my training and I haven't been focused on my nutrition since the start of the year, and I can feel it definitely affecting my training, affecting my mood, affecting my sleep. So it's time to rein it back in, and I have this, I could wait until I move into my house, because that's what's causing a lot of my stress at the moment, but I can't afford to wait another 3 months. I need to get it under control, because it affects everything. It affects my work, it affects my life, it affects my training. So yeah.
Happy Need days. And I think control. A lot of people can relate to that. I'm in the middle of that myself. So yeah, deadly. Very good. And for me, I wanted to pick something that I'm working on, and I have been working on. I've been going through a bit of a process with it. I'm a bit further along, but I wanted to build it as if, so I'm doing the exercise as if I'm starting it. So I can, you know, write down things that have actually already happened. Oh, cool. Yeah. So this is launching Bua Apparel. So we all know that we are terrible at providing t-shirts and hoodies and stuff for our members to buy. They're always asking us. We've tried it 30 different ways over the years, and do you know something? Most gyms who do it, like what you get is you drop into a gym, oh, I can buy a t-shirt, deadly. What most people don't realize is most gyms are selling apparel at a loss. The apparel that you buy is usually shit, and it's like nice in the moment, but then you don't end up wearing it. And that's, we've been through that process a thousand times. So we're trying to build like a really good apparel line that people can buy and actually wear for 5 years, and that, you know, it's consistent and it sustains over time. So I'm trying to build that. That's what I'm using. So the first thing is,
sorry, I think that's quite interesting for you as well, because you're involved in a lot of businesses, but all of them are service-based businesses, whereas this is a product thing. So how's that going? Like, is there a big shift there, or is it a similar process for you?
It's an important distinction. It's a very different thing. It's a different process. And probably by default, I can build a service-related thing because I've done it so many different ways. And a lot of it's just inherently there. I know what to do. Here, it's a different thing for sure. And there's decisions to be made, and you're not fully informed. So you have to make judgment calls. And that's where often the process breaks down. Just like, I need to decide on that. And then 2 weeks later, it's still sitting there undecided. So that's where it gets difficult. But this framework is the thing that moves it forward 100%. So I'm going to start off with just some simple instructions. You need a pen and paper in the middle of your page. You need to draw a line, vertical line in the middle of your page. So it divides into a left and a right. At the top of the left column, you're going to write things in my control. And then at the top of the left column, I think... Sorry, did I say left first? The right column is things outside of my control. You probably figured that out already. Now, what we're going to start with is, with the exercise, is on the right-hand side, the out of my control list is actually the first one to do. I find that really useful because it's the one that usually is the piece that's causing all the stress, and it's usually where our attention defaults to. So we should be able to figure it out pretty quickly. So I'm going to get James and Elaine to start jotting down a few things here. So things that, you know, if you could needed to make them happen right now, you couldn't do because it probably involves another person or an outside company or a timeline that you don't fully have the control to pull a lever on. You might be able to affect it, but you can't just make it happen. So that's they're all the things. I've got a list here done, so I'm going to talk you through it as the lads are working to give you some examples. So, for instance, launching Boo Apparel, some of the things that I worry about are people liking the design of the t-shirts. Are people going to like this thing? Maybe we launch it and go, really? And that's a stress, and then it actually slows down the process of getting them. It also makes you double, like, think twice about the design when you have it. You've decided, you're like, is that the thing? Is that not the thing? Finding great garments. I think the actual t-shirt itself is always the most important thing. And it's really hard to find it because when you're trying to get them done in small quantities, usually the companies that do t-shirt printing, they use really disposable shit shirts, basically, that wash poorly, etc. So that's outside of my controls, actually having them. People being into buying shirts from their gym. Like, I go to a gym, do I want to buy a shirt from there or not? I don't know. I think that they do because they ask, but I don't know if they will or not. So if we go and buy 300 to sell, maybe 30 sell, the 30 people who are saying it. But I can't control that. Another thing I can't control is people willing to pay the cost because it's going to be more expensive than a regular t-shirt. So when you think about, like, an example, finding great garments, that might be something that sounds like it's in my control because I just keep looking until I find it, but I might never find it. So I can't say for sure that I definitely will. So it's got to go in that right-hand side. And that's where this list becomes really important, that we're really disciplined around what we put on each side of the thing. James, have you got a few things, a few examples of?
Yeah, so I have a couple of things now. So when the first product launches is outside of my control, and that's, I'm thinking of like the literal date that it goes out there. And then I'm also thinking, like, when the brand actually launches, because we're always talking about it in whispers and code. It's like, we have a name here, and we're like, is it that name or is it this name? Or so the launch of both the brand and the first product aren't really in my control. We have to decide that, and then there's a third party involved as well, and we have to get their approval on certain things and agreement and all that jazz and work on their timeline. So that's one. Then,
like, so can I put some pressure on this for a second? So as you think about that, there's probably elements of that that are in your control, right?
Yeah.
So what you can get is a bit more micro on it.
Okay.
So you could decide, I decide when the thing gets launched. Mm. What I don't decide is when we're ready to launch it. Because you could decide to launch it today.
Yeah.
But we're not ready.
We're not ready.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you do have it in your control to launch it.
Okay.
So you could say, outside of my control, readiness.
Ready to launch it.
To launch it. And then it starts becoming very more, much more useful in that now that's what's in my control is getting ready for it. And that's the thing that's kind of holding me back. It's the readiness rather than the decision.
So see, on this as well then, are you almost... Are you trying to approach it in that way where you have a thing and I write ready to launch in the outside of my control thing, but then in my control is I start writing the things that would get me ready to launch? Is that how you approach this?
It is. We're going to get to that, right?
Okay.
We're going to get to that as a, like, the response to the thing on the right column will be in the left column.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But I think it's really important to stay, like you've just done here, stay focused on the things that, rather than jumping back and forth.
Try
like,
to stay there.
Stay in that right column for now. So give me another one.
People signing up.
Yeah.
Could launch a product and no one wants it. So I can't really control that. There's things like marketing, obviously, that can go into that. But actual people buying it without putting a gun to their head, I have no real control over that whatsoever.
And what's interesting to me is that when we sit down to have meetings about this, we end up talking a lot about, are people going to be interested in this? Because we're trying to figure out the right product.
Mm-hmm.
But that question is outside of our control. And yet it gets so much of our attention and airtime.
All the time,
And it's also the thing that causes a lot of the anxiety around it.
100%.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So it's good to put it in that column to say, actually, we have nothing
to do. Like, as soon as I wrote that down, I felt my heart rate go down just a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, I can't control that. It'd be shit if they don't, but whatever.
Yes, absolutely. Any more in that column?
Like, kind of alongside that, then is like, if it actually makes any money, is outside of my control. While we're not setting it up to become multi-bazillionaires, it's also not a charity.
It's a business, yeah.
Yeah, it's a business at the end of the day. So, but no real control in that. So, that's there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, that one does spike the heart rate a little bit more again. I'm not going to lie. There's other little things here that I had on another page, but I might let Elaine chip in with a few here before
Perfect.
I just get fully coached through this.
Right, Elaine. So we're sticking to that out of your control column.
Okay, so this is really interesting because my immediate reaction is everything's inside my control. Like, just sort it out. Sort out your nutrition. Sort out your eating habits. Just sort it out. This is how I speak to myself all the time, by the way. But then as I'm listening to you two talking, I'm like, okay, so I'll say what I wrote down first. I only had one, which was the rate at which I would lose body fat. Like, that's outside my control, the rate at which it happens.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
Then I'm listening to you and I've put down readiness to say no to chocolate and sweet things. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready. I fucking love chocolate and sweet things. So
that's a great one.
Is that because...
Well, and I think it's really important to say, ultimately, you have some control over that, right? And you could say you have the full control if you were very hard-nosed about it. But it doesn't sound like you have the feeling you're ready, and it doesn't sound like it has proven so in the past.
Yeah, never.
So, you know, when it's a pure decision, there's a whole discussion to be had around free will here, right? How much free will do we have, actually?
Yeah.
But when we don't really trust, there's something in us saying, I'm not ready to just say no to everything. I think you have to put it in the out of my control thing and give yourself some reality. That's a dose of reality. Say, as much as I think I should and sort it out, I haven't been able to. I don't feel like I'm going to be able to. So therefore, let's put it over there for now and see, can I do something on the other column to answer that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's just a really interesting way of looking at it, because it gives me freedom to be like, okay, this is a hard thing. Like, this is a hard thing that I, for me personally, that I'm trying to do. I've always struggled with this. So why do I think just telling myself to sort it out is going to sort it out?
Yes.
It's not magically going to happen.
And I've done this for my own nutrition recently, because I'm in the process with that. And I've had that same exact experience where I've put it in the out of my control thing when I'm at the end of a long day and I'm tired. Mm. My ability to make good choices.
Yes.
It's not fully in my control, because if it was, I would just always make good choice. I just simply don't.
Yeah.
And if I asked myself for the next 14 days, would I do that? I would bet all my money that I wouldn't.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So therefore, okay, it should be. And maybe I'm a terribly indisciplined person, but the reality is it hasn't been in my control. It probably isn't yet. But it's not that it won't be, but it isn't yet. So yeah. It's got to go over there.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So then you got to start thinking, what are the things that I can do about that?
Yeah.
And then we're getting into a bit more of a real footing. Did you have any more, James, that you want to add in, any micro things?
Yeah, so I have some other things here, and you can tell me where I put them, where I don't. So I also have decide, build, and name the product. So the actual, like, what are we going to call it? I have to build the materials and resources and whatever else goes around it, and then, like, before all that, decide what is it that we're actually going to do. So decide, build, and name. Where would I put them?
Yeah, great questions. So decide what you're going to name it. Like, if that was fully in your control, you could just put it over in the left column, but you know it's not.
Yeah.
Because you haven't figured out what you want, and then you've got a business partner
who
has to get inputs, and we have to get agreement. Mm-hmm. So you could say, naming the business could be on the right hand column, but then we'll figure out what we can put on the left about it. Yeah. You get me? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a few more examples of mine, and it might clarify the answer to that.
Sweet.
So when launching Boo Apparel, like, when I'm looking at the finding the great garments, like, you could say, as I said, that's fully within my like, I'm eventually going to find it. But you just don't know that for sure. So therefore, you have to build the things on the left column that would help you get there.
Yeah.
And they will all have to be things that have a checkbox beside them. Okay. And the checkbox is the important bit. The checkbox could be like a yes or no checkbox, or it could be complete or incomplete. But it has to be objective. They can't be subjective.
Interesting.
So for the finding great garments that is outside of my control, I can get samples from three companies. So therefore, I can go to three different companies and get samples. And at that point, I can decide if I found a great garment or not. If I haven't, then I go and find three more. Yeah. And that's the process that helps me get there. Whether I get there or not is outside of my control. Yeah. But me sitting there going, the problem is this. Whatever t-shirts I ever get from these companies are shit. Mm. How am I ever going to find good ones? Because no matter what I've tried before, I haven't been able to find them. Mm-hmm. And I get stuck in that. And I was stuck in that for the last 18 months. Like, we haven't had t-shirts because I'm like, no matter what we've tried, we can't find any. And it's a defeatist sort of like, oh, well, what can I do about it? Because it doesn't seem to ever work.
Yeah.
And then that feels like it's something that I'm working on because I'm thinking about it. But I'm doing nothing about it at the time.
So for that example I gave, like, decide the name of the product, I can go, oh, can't think of a good name. All the good names are taken. Or I can write down three names, bring them to you. And you go, no, there's something in that. And then write down three more related to that. And you go, there's something in that one. No. Oh, I like this one. And we go through that iterative process. But writing down names,
it's taking them to you. Taking action,
bringing them,
starting the discussion, continuing the discussion until it's happened, is the thing. So then it's writing down what are the actual things that I can say at the end of my week or at the end of the month or whatever the timeline is, I can, like, did it or not did it. Mm. Did the work, didn't do the work. And there's a process then being built. So I'll give you my left-hand list. Okay. So you see on the out of my control is, like, people liking the design. What I can do about it, come up with five design ideas. Then I can bring design ideas to the team meetings for the next 2 weeks. Then it's get design ideas from each teammate who has one. So now I've got more ideas. Then it's bring ideas when complete to Miguel, who's going to actually do the designs. Then it's ask Miguel for first iterations. So you see now all of a sudden there's a process being built and lots of actions that I can take. And that's coming out of that one thing on the right-hand side.
Wow.
So all of them are checkboxes. I can either say at the end of the 2 weeks, did I bring it up in all five team meetings or did I miss one of them? That's the objectivity of it. I could say, like, get great ideas from the team, and I can't control that. What I can say is get an amount. Do you get me? I can say, I've got five design ideas. I've only got three. I need to keep working on it until I have another two before I go to the team. So there's that objectivity checkbox nature to it, which is not sexy. It is really procedural and monotonous, but that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
So to give you another one, let me see. So, people willing to pay the cost. So then I can say, I need to decide on an ordering process for the t-shirts, decide on a distribution process for the t-shirts, and then have a meeting with the management team around pricing, get inputs from them. And then there's a make final decision by this date. So all of these things I can actually do. They might lead to more actions, but at least I know I'm doing something about it rather than sitting and leaving it sit there. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So
I have a question on that. Sorry, I have a bit of a two-parter. First one, have you found like a certain number of items per, like if there's one thing outside of my control, is there a certain number of things in my control that I should try and find for that? Like, is three the best number, five the best number, one? What's the best way to try and break that
down? I haven't found an ideal number. I always find that some of them, say there's something on the right-hand column out of my control, and that leads to 25.
Yeah,
like that's a project, and that's why I realize it's so stressful. I'm sitting here worrying about
25 things via one thing,
and I'm just focusing on this bloody big mountain. Yeah. And the mountain is a month-long process involving five different people, and there's so many tasks. It's no wonder the stakes are so high here.
Yeah.
And I'm so far away from that thing. And as soon as I start building it, it's like, holy shit, this is a big process. That's why it was awful.
So I have a second question then. I'm like, as I said earlier, and it's happening again now, like every time you say something, I think of another thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. Is there like a cutoff point where you go, these things for now, and then whatever else comes up, either ignore or add to, or is it just a never ending thing right up until the day the goal actually happens of adding new things in? Or
I don't like getting ahead of the process too much. I like to pick the things that are the next few steps in the process, because I like to build momentum. That's me. Some people I think might want to see the whole thing laid out and spreadsheet it, and they've got like a massive Excel file with everything. That might reassure you and say, okay, now I've got a roadmap.
That's stressing me the fuck out.
So what I like to have is, right, what are the next few steps, so that at least I'll do the first one and I have something to follow with. But then as I'm getting close to the end of it, I'll need to build another few. But it helps me stay like, gives me what I need from this, which is I've got a feeling of agency and a feeling of I have some levers to pull and I've got my own effort and time to do it. Therefore, I've got some control, and that's where the anxiety levels come down. Do you want to talk to me about stuff on your in control list?
So specifically then, out of the outside of my control, if I say one of the things outside my control is my mood or my ability to make good choices when I'm tired, but inside my control would be planning my meals for the week, doing the shopping at the weekend, so to have the ingredients to hand, filling the freezer with options, cooking and preparing all my meals. That would offset that one.
Yeah. So ask yourself, what would you need to add or take away, if anything, to any of those, to make it a checklist that on a certain date you can check yes or no or complete or incomplete. And for me, they all sound like very actionable things. It does also sound like an extra layer of specificity.
Go down another layer.
Might be good. Okay. So when you say fill the freezer.
Yeah.
It could be fill the freezer with, and you could write down three to five things.
Okay.
And make them specific.
Okay, deadly.
And then you could go fill the freezer this Sunday with.
Yes.
That's quite a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Because then you know in the freezer you've got these things and you're going to have them from Sunday. So from Monday onwards, they're there.
Yeah. And that's an option.
Yeah, because I think the you don't want to turn it into what I should do list. It's what am I going to do list.
Okay.
And then it becomes, I'm doing something. I've got a plan, not a pressure to do things I should be doing that I'm not.
Yes.
You know, that's a really important
so
one.
So on Saturday, plan my meals for the week ahead. On Sunday, do my shopping for the planned meals. So get
meals
specific.
Do you plan, do you think?
Oh, chicken, curry and rice.
But do you know what? Is it lunch? Is it dinner?
I have to plan it all. Sure, I'm in my car all the time, so I need to plan.
And how many meals?
Three meals a day, two snacks.
Okay, so then I would write down, plan my three meals and two snacks for the next 5 days,
okay,
for instance, or the next 7 days. And then you would say, where am I going to plan them? Like, what does it look like?
Okay.
Is it written down?
Yes.
Is it? And then you've got something to actually go and do.
So this is so specific. Yeah, I need to keep drilling down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think what you find is that when you make it that specific, you'll see what's manageable.
Yeah.
Because then you'll say, actually, if I take on, like, plan every meal for 7 days, that's going to take me an hour.
Yes.
You might say that.
Yeah.
I also have to fill the freezer. And then you might say, that's actually all I can actually ask myself this week. Because the list, like James said, can become endless, then overwhelming. Then the list is the problem of things to do. And then you might say, actually, the rate of change here for sorting out my nutrition, as you call it, is it might be a 3-month process of improvement rather than I'm going to get everything sorted this week.
Yeah. This is so funny because my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is beautiful because I sorted out on Saturday. And then it's like, oh, there's four of the days in the week. Shit. It's like, oh shit, what am I going to do on Thursday? So yeah, this is like really, like, because it's all obvious things. This is the thing with nutrition and why we can be tough on ourselves. It's all obvious things. It's things, that word you keep using, Jamie, that we should be doing. We know what we should be doing. But this is like, what am I actually going to do to
When we're talking about our goals in our management meeting or team meetings, like, we're really big on saying, let's set goals that we can achieve rather than just saying the thing I should do next, because that might be a 4-week job.
Yeah.
Let's break it into the 4 weeks and say what I'm going to do. So next week I can say, yes, job done. Yes, job done.
Yeah.
And we build some confidence in the process.
Yeah, deadly.
To get creative there, you say you get to the Wednesday and you're like, oh shit, it's 4 more days. One way to do it is to say, when I sit down to plan, I have to plan the 7. Another way to do it is, I'm going to plan a second planning day for Wednesday evening. So I know I don't like to do more than 3 or 4 days at a go. So every Wednesday is going to be a second planning day. So there's different ways to do it. And you got to ask what's realistic.
Yeah, I was kind of going to allude to that as well, where that sounds like uber stressful to me, because it's creating a list of what's in my control, but some things are a daily task, some things are a weekly task, some things are a monthly task. And something Jose's done really well with us in our management meeting is, like, we have a 10-year goal, 3-year goals, 1-year goals, quarterly goals, and it's broken down into these little things. And he has it on a spreadsheet, brings it up every team meeting, and he's like, what did you do this week? There was the goal for the week that builds towards the goal for the quarter, that builds towards the goal for the year. And I'm looking at these things now and I'm like, part of the problem, I was super stressed yesterday. I was a real fouler all day yesterday, and until I went home and did this with Jill, I couldn't get out of it. But what I ended up doing with her then was, right, here's all the things that need done. And it's like, right, well, that can't get done until these three things happen. So these three things have to go this month, that goes next month. And I almost broke it down again into, right, what gets done this week, those 6 things, and what gets done tonight, just that one thing. And I broke it down into today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then it expanded out into next week, next month, and it made me feel so much better. But what Jill is really good at is she just has her to-do list and she refers back to it all the time and ticks it, ticks it, ticks it, ticks it, and it freaks me out so bad. But having this idea of today I do this, just this one thing, and it gets me closer to it, and I felt way better.
Yeah, there's a confidence in, I know it's just a series of little tasks, and if I just do the little thing, that I have the confidence that if I see the big picture, it'll add up to a huge thing. Yeah, so I think having some discipline around this in your control list is the key to it, and really drilling down. And then when you take a step back from it and you look at everything on the left-hand side of the line, you could call that simply the process, okay? And then when you look, what's interesting to me is when you look at everything on the right-hand side, you could just label them the results. So instead of them being the, oh, they're the things out of my control, actually they're the things you're trying to achieve when you look at it. So when I look at my list, like, people will really like the design, and we'll have found great garments, and people really want to buy t-shirts from the gym, and the cost is exactly where it needs to be. So like, they're all the things, yeah, I hope are the outcomes. When you think about it, it's not that we have a great apparel thing. It's like, they're the details of a great apparel thing. So when you look at that, you can say, oh yeah, that's why it's stressful, because I'm focusing on the result, and the process is the thing that's going to get us there. I'd say one last layer is to, when you have that in your control list, is to do one last zoom out and you ask yourself, if all of those things got done perfectly, would it solve the problem? And what I find is sometimes there's something I'm like, oh, but actually I'm missing a component here that needs to happen as well. And that can give you a sense of, oh yeah, now I've got it. And then that'll give you a completeness to your plan that says, if I follow the plan, I'll get the thing on the right, which is all those great, amazing results, which would be a sweet place to be. So that's the exercise. I would really encourage you to give it a go if you've been listening along. If you haven't been doing it as you've been listening, go and do it for yourself. And I'd love to hear if anyone gets any outcomes from it. It'd be really cool. Okay, let's switch gears. We're gonna move on.
A hard gear shift, isn't it?
It's a hard gear shift. We're gonna do some recommendations. So this week,
oh yeah,
we did YouTube clips last week, right?
Yeah,
we got a good response from that. This week, we're gonna recommend an album. So I think it's rare enough people sit down and listen to an album.
Yeah,
these days it's always like songs. And I think sometimes a really nice thing to do is to say, I'm gonna stick on that album I liked. It's a certain start to finish mood it takes you through. So we recommend one. I'm gonna start with you, James. Have you got one for us?
Yeah, I'm actually torn between two, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say both of them.
Because, amazing.
Yeah, because like, I have two Jay-Z albums here.
Oh
yeah, controversial. So the one I was going to say initially was his album from 2013, Magna Carta Holy Grail. And I like that because the whole way through it, there's a mixture of him talking about his career and how he's approached it, but then also his family and what he's done and how he's approached that. And not only, he talks in it about how amazing he is as an artist, and all the amazing people that he's worked with, and he's top of the game and all of this stuff, but also all the mistakes he's made. And then he does the same with his family. I think this album came out around about the time that it came out that he was cheating on Beyonce, and he fucked cheats on Beyonce. The elevator incident. Yeah, exactly. But like, it comes up in the thing, and there's a little bit of an apology within it all. And I was just like, oh, it's not that I... not that I relate to that, but I'm just saying the way he's operated within this album, where he's focused on his work and his family, mm-hmm, so heavily, I was like, oh, that, like, that's me. And I'm constantly in that struggle at the minute, like in the past 2 years, where it's like, I want to do this and I want to achieve these things and I want to set up this business and I want to become a better coach and I want to, and then I'm like, I also want to be a really good partner, and I want to have a child that looks up to me and doesn't miss me all the time because I'm not there. And it's this constant to and fro all the time that I really got from this album that I obviously didn't relate to back in 2013, but I re-listened to it maybe 6 months ago, and I listened to the whole thing start to finish, and I was like, oh.
And it what hit was me. It? What's it called?
Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Okay. Daddy. I don't really, I never got onto the Jay-Z thing ever. I was probably wrong age or something, but yeah.
I don't know if you'd really suit it either.
Right, okay.
You just pictured Jamie rapping in his car.
Yeah, it's hard to picture that. But I'm really impressed with him. He seems to be a phenomenally smart dude. And I can, like, there are songs come on like, oh, that's a really good song. And they're like, oh, that's Jay-Z. I didn't realize that.
And then the songs that he's not on but has produced, he's very, like, Pharrell is very like this as well, where they've just been involved with so many songs. Like, pick your favorite song. In the past 20 or 30 years, Pharrell or Jay-Z have probably been in the process of making it. Yeah.
Very cool.
Which is so cool.
Elaine, what have you got for us?
So I really struggled with this because I realize I don't really listen to albums start to finish. So I picked one that I'm going to listen to. this album came out before I was born in 1977. It's Rumours by Fleetwood Mac. And I've probably listened to, I think there's 15 songs in it, and I've listened to 10 of them. Oh. So I know all the songs, like The Chain, Dreams, Songbird, Go Your Own Way. Like, the tunes are tuning. I just haven't actually listened to the full album. So you've inspired me to go and listen to it in the order that they presented it in. And yeah, like, the first song I don't actually know. So anyhow, I recommend you go listen to Rumours by Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
I put on Fleetwood Mac on heavy days in the gym or as I'm warming people up. Yeah, no, as like for the technique stuff. It's a builder thing. So I'll stick on Fleetwood Mac and it just gets everyone in such a good mood.
I don't know it at all.
Do you not?
No, and I think I'd be really into it.
If you want.
No, thanks.
You can go your own way.
Oh, yeah, I do know that song. You know them. Okay. Yeah.
You'll know them all. The Chain, it's the theme tune for the Formula One. Such a good tune. Like,
so it's real 70s stuff.
So good. And it just reminds me of growing up. So do you know what? I probably have listened to the album because my mom would have played it all the time when I was growing up. I personally haven't listened to it in its entirety as a grown adult.
Okay, so that's a good recommendation. That's something I'll go and do now, listen to a full album. I've been actually doing this a bit recently. I've been listening to a few of the old albums I really like from start to finish in the car. It's a really nice thing to do because a lot of albums have a bit of a story and they kind of take you through different moods all the way to the end. And one of my favorite bands to do this with is Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd, I got into, like, I was late in my 20s. I'd never really listened to them. And they're hard to get into because there's, like, long instrumentals and you're like, oh, it's a bit like, it's a slow burn, you know. But I had a friend who was really into them. He's like, start with Dark Side of the Moon. He said, but you need to listen to it like all the way through. And it's like, it kind of feels like one song, but there's loads of different songs that kind of flow one into another. But they did write it like to be listened to as a whole thing, not like individual songs. And it's an amazing thing. But I listened to it to death. So I'm going to recommend a different one to get into. It's called Wish You Were Here. And again, just amazing songs in it. I probably realize something about myself. I like songs with lyrics more than the music. Like, the lyrics are the thing that get me. What's being said and how it's being said is what I find interesting.
I'm the exact same. Yeah. I go looking at, what did he say there? What does he mean by that? And then I have to go Google the word of, yeah, that type of stuff.
So I think that what Pink Floyd do amazingly well is they have these really interesting lyrics, really well sang, but they do it in short bursts and then they make you earn it. Like, these big, big, long instrumentals that are amazing, really good. But I'm always, like, waiting for the words to come back in. And that's kind of the payoff. So there's a bit of work in it, but it really engages me. Love listening to those albums. And when I come away, I always feel completely different after listening to them. So if you don't like Pink Floyd, I recommend get into them with Wish You Were Here or Dark Side of the Moon. That'd be an easier way in. Okay, that's our album recommendations. Elaine, have you got any member shout-outs for us?
So I'm doing it again, Jamie. I'm having two shout-outs for the price of one. Apologies. So I want to give a shout-out to two of my Fundamentals crew who have been members now for 8 weeks, I suppose, they've been in Bua Dunlear. Number one is Rachel Gallagher. She was completely brand new to this style of training. She'd never done a back squat. Everything is brand new to Rachel, and she just completely throws herself into it. She listens, so I can watch her face taking in what I'm saying, and the face starts to change, and then she'll go and try it, and then the face is still, oh, I'm not sure of that, and then she'll feel it and she'll go, ah, I get it now, I get it. And she just, like, takes everything in, goes away and tries it, and yeah, she's there every morning. She's with Hannah at 5:30, and then she does shift work, so then she's with me some evenings as well. But she has completely, completely thrown herself into the process, and she is smashing it. And it's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Rachel. And then number two is Christopher Brazel. So Christy is, he was a boxer in a previous life, so he's come back to fitness, and he is building every week. And like that, he is showing up. He's there 5:30 every single day. His mobility, God love him, is atrocious. He can't put his hands over his head, and like overhead squats yesterday, well, a few weeks ago, was a real challenge. Whether it was yesterday, he's been working a bit on his mobility. He's been showing up every class. He's just loosening up his joints again. He's standing straighter. His feet are straight. His heels are down. Like, he's working on all these things. He's just working on the fitness. He's working on his positions, and every week he's improving and improving and improving. And he's completely addicted. I love it. Like, he is all in, and it's paying off. So huge shout out to those two. They are smashing it.
Mega, mega, mega. Okay, amazing. Let's finish off with some would you rather. Now,
I think this always makes me the most nervous out of any podcast, because I usually suggest them. I go find them, and then I forget what I suggested.
Right, you'll go first then. Would you rather be trapped in a cave with one other person, like pitch black, can't see anything in front of your face, for a whole week, so you're trapped in the cave with them, pitch black, or would you rather be lost in a forest for a whole week, but on your own? You'll survive both situations, so no survival risk, but you do have to be there for the week. Cave or forest?
Forest.
Okay, I will try and make the case for cave. I would have said forest.
I think. You definitely would have said forest.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I think it's a pitch blackness would still make me feel really alone, even if there was someone there. Mm-hmm. Whereas at least in the forest, I probably feel really alone, really scared at nighttime, but then during the day, at least you get
nighttime.
Yeah, you forget about that, don't
you? No, nighttime.
Scary. Just all the snakes come out.
The rustling will never stop. No.
You'd have to learn how to climb a tree, make a bed in a tree, pure Hunger Games style. But yeah, I think a forest, because at least I get to move around, see where I'm going, and see if something's about to attack me. Like in the cave, if something comes in to get you, you're like, where is it? Is it there? Is that true. You, Elaine, beside me, or is it, who knows, Forrest?
I think, I don't know. Look, this, having another person is, I know, Elaine, you're shaking your head because you're...
For a whole week, one person, there was not one person on this planet that I would like to spend one full week with. No, there's not. There's not, even worse, Laura. Oh my God, a full week with them in your face, in pitch black, you can't even see them. You can just hear them breathe. Oh my God. They'll be breathing in your ear. They'll be like doing a clickety clackety thing with their mouth or something. Like, they'd be driving me berserk.
Yeah, I think the moaning and complaining of each
other person
would be very difficult, because if both of you are scared and absolutely fed up, and then you're feeding off each other. But the one thing is, at least you can like talk to someone. At least you can reassure each other. At least you can say, here, what can you find? Here, I found this thing over here. Oh, where are you? And at least there's something to engage with.
Nothing like a little hug whenever you get scared.
And
too.
A cuddle. You could cuddle all the time if you needed to. Like, come on. In the forest, you're lost. It's not like you're like on holidays for a week. You're like, I don't know where I am.
But I'm going to be fine. There's going to be water. I can go for a swim. I can wash my hair. I can lie down. I can hang out with all the animals, and I'll be by my, I can hang, I can do some dead hangs. I'll be by myself, pure bliss for 1 week. It would be amazing.
I don't think so, but I'm going to go with the cave actually. I think the cave is the thing. Yeah, a bit of darkness, maybe a bit of mindfulness, maybe a bit of, you know, your sense of self dissolves into the world.
Did you roll your eyes as much as me there, Elaine?
The two of them.
I tell you what the worst thing is, I've just realized that when I'm by myself, I'll be by myself with my thoughts, and that's the worst. But I would still rather be in the forest by myself than with somebody else.
Okay, here. I've got one more. This was a good one from James Rankin. Would you rather lose access to your laptop for 3 days or lose access to your phone for 3 days?
Laptop.
There's an answer I want to give.
Come on,
but
give
I
the real
have
one.
To be realistic. Really, it's the laptop.
Oh, for me, it's definitely the phone. Get rid of that thing.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised your phone hasn't buzzed too much during this podcast. I'd say, like, your phone gives me anxiety.
Yeah, it's always going.
I pick laptop. I should pick phone. I'd rather lose the phone because it would give me freedom, but it would stress me out. Whereas I can do nearly everything. The podcast would be the only thing without my laptop. But we can't do it on yours as well. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Take the laptop.
Yeah. Look, I think the phone has almost all the functions. And I hate my laptop. I fucking hate this thing. Put it in the river. I'd be much happier. Because I don't like working on laptops. But it is where I get most of my work done. And I also think it's a weird one. If I want to do something creative, like a bit of creative work, I really enjoy that. And I don't do that well on the phone. And I do it much better on my laptop. So I can get a better variety of work done. And my phone, it does suck me into social media all the time, which is not how I want to spend my life. So say, for instance, if I make a decision, okay, it's one or the other. I'm off the grid for 3 days. No one can contact me. Everyone go fuck yourself. That's a decision I could really happily make. Whereas the laptop is like, shit, I want to get all this stuff done and I can't now.
Yeah.
That'd be annoying.
Yeah, it's funny because I can probably work as well on my phone as I can on my laptop. Like for class planning and stuff, I probably do it better on my phone. But the distraction of the other stuff is always there because the apps are so easily accessible. Whereas Instagram on your laptop, you just don't want to go on it. It's awful. It's horrendous. The same with Facebook. I know that people go on LinkedIn to scroll social media. Like, it just isn't the same. TikTok, I don't know what that like.
Yeah, they're
like
designed for this phone, right?
They're there for the phone because they suit it really well. So it would be really good to lose the phone for that distraction purpose, mainly.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'd love to get rid of the phone. I'd love to say it because I know I get loads of work
done. So what is it about the phone then that you want to keep? Is it the social media thing?
Well, you can do everything on your phone. That's the thing. You can contact people, social media, yeah. You can work, like you'll survive. Whereas if you only had the laptop, nobody could ring you. Yes, it would be amazing. But yeah, the phone, it's such a distraction. But here's one I was talking to a friend about last week. Do you have any big jobs that I can only do on a laptop? Like for me, I want to order sanitary wear at the minute, right? I'm like, that's not a phone job. That's a big job. That's a job that I have to order on a laptop because that's serious business. Whereas I couldn't order like 2 grand's worth of sanitary wear on a phone. Do you know? There's something weird. There's like a limit there. I can order a jumper. I can order a t-shirt.
But I totally to order
like my skincare, holidays. Couple of holidays, whip out the laptop because that is a big job and needs
so
to be done.
It needs a bigger machine.
Yeah.
So weird.
I think you have just given away your age there. I guarantee it. Anyone like under the age of 21 can do everything on their phone. Yes. But we can do it on a laptop.
Okay, let's leave it there.